as you listen to the sounds of nature. You come through and awaken in that energy. You accommodate that focus. You hear the workers talking and laughing and pounding their wood. And you see here the kitchen. Sometimes you can even hear the kitchen women singing as they're doing their job. You see, everyone has a task. You want a chair?
I'm good.
You may. You can't sit. In that energy, to know that you are a part of this creation. You are a part of the essence of energy that brought this beautiful space here. So when you asked the question earlier, did the baby elephant, was she attracted to us? Your company here, your tribe, your pod, your herd? Or do they do that with everyone? Our ego would love to think that it must be about us, huh? Yes? Your ego wants to know that you are the light, so even the elephants are attracted, and that may be the case sometimes. Or sometimes a pickle is just a pickle. Sometimes an elephant just wants to play, and oh, look, we've got new humans here. They don't know enough to stay away from us yet. They want to play with us. Maybe their friend said, oh, and this one over here feeds peanuts. Small things out of her pocket. Find her, huh? You see, it may or may not be factual, but it is still fun to think about. It is fun to think that your energy is somehow different. And it is. Everyone is unique unto themselves. And yes, many times the elephants can recognize that. They can recognize the focus of that. They can recognize the intonation or inclination of that energy. This is the time for you to go inside. You will have maybe several hours here at the nature park. And as our guide Ek said, emphasize nature. So there may be little fuzzy things floating about. Some have already witnessed the spiders that are about this big. And the trail of elephants coming by the way with their mahout. You see, it is all perfect. In retreat, there comes a time when things, your creature comforts, are being a bit challenged. And you think, you know, give me some food that I can recognize. Give me an energy, an experience that I know what it is. And then you can complain if you want. Or maybe you just make your thoughts known. And then you get to go inside and ask yourself, what is it that is really important? What is it that your creature comforts really need? Is it truly so important to get a hair dryer? Is it truly so important to have a nice, soft, cushy bed? or lights on all night long, huh? You see, this is your time for introspection. This is your time to look at your conscious action, which is the next step on the Eightfold Path. Conscious action. What are your actions and how do they represent themselves? Yesterday your actions were all about the shopping, huh? And then we held the world in our palms. You held the world in your palms. We will do that again, if that's all right. And if it's not, we will still do that again. And you'll get to ask yourself when you go inside, why is that not all right? There's action going on over there, eh?
We're listening.
No mistake?
No, we're listening.
Ah, that is all right. You can look anywhere you choose. It is recorded. That is why we sat here. Asked our vessel Meron to sit here. So you had the 360 degrees. We expected everyone to sit over there. Mm-hmm. Or over here. So you can see both. The woods, the mountain and the river. And the landscape and the mountains on this side. Both are equally beautiful. Tomorrow morning, early, when they allow the elephants out of their bedrooms, you'll see them wandering out on the grounds. And you think, what is their story? What is their story? Where have they been? How have their mahouts taken responsibility for raising, caring for an elephant from the time they were children? From the time the elephant was a child. For you see, the elephants also have a respect for their mahouts. The elephants understand them. And now that they are learning to train them in different ways, they've learned more trust of their mahout. Just as you learn more trust with your people, your friends, your relatives. That is conscious action. To trust yourself enough to take action with integrity. To trust yourself enough to take action even when things may seem a little uncomfortable. Even when you might not have all of your creature comforts that you thought you might. Or you get up the line and they've run out of potatoes. Not that there's not plenty of other food there. But you see, those little things, they may start triggering you right now. Because after we've been here 6 days, usually that starts after the 5th day. You may have noticed it yesterday too. So as they do, as those little trigger points come in, know that they're only being raised in your energy field. So you can release them. So you can integrate them. So you can honor them and say, oh, I feel myself being triggered. Like when the person told you, you can't sit at that table, that's our table. The vessel Marilyn almost came over and said, wait a second. You can't tell my friend that. She needs to sit down and that is good. But it was not her place. But the person that was territorial, she needed to have that territory. And we saw it as an example, because there were people at our table, which caused us to scramble for chairs. But we never asked them to leave. Instead, we embraced them. That is conscious action. conscious action, to embrace all that comes your way, which leads into conscious livelihood. You see, you have to have understanding, and you have to have an effort there, or thought, or intention. And then you get to have the speech, the communication. And then you get to see what sort of action you are led to take that makes a difference in this world. Our friend Deepak Chopra said to his children when they said, "What shall we go into? What is our education? What shall we be? We cannot be you. You are a great teacher." And he said, "It matters not what you are, where you get your education, or where you go to college or anything else. What matters is that you are of service." And that is the key. What matters is that you are of service to humanity. Once you are of service, you will be happy. Once you are of service and making a difference, you will be ecstatic. Because it is your magnificence that creates that, yes? Mm-hmm. It is your magnificence that honors that, yes? And to know that every single daytimer, as they call them here, that come in are wondering how they can get what they want. Or they will embrace the peace of this place. Because that is our intention. So as you encounter others tomorrow, the next day, see if you can hold that Buddhist energy of radiating that peace, radiating that invocation of love. For when you do, that reverberates out and changes the world. There are 24% of the world's population that are light pleasurers now. They may not call themselves light pleasurers. They may just be doing good things. But that has increased over the past 10 years. You are a light plurker. Play plus work equals plurk. You are the way showers. You are the nature of humanity. As you step forward and release your fear and release your what if and release your but what happens if. How many of you have asked that question? Well, what happens next? And what if I get a roommate that I don't like? Or what if I get a roommate that they'll mind my snoring? Or what if that happens? What if I get a roommate that needs to have dark and I need light? That is not trusting the universe. That is not trusting that everything is in divine order. And maybe if you have little idiosyncrasies, isn't that what they're called? Little things, little habits, little things that you believe are so important to you, you want to hang on to them. But in the larger scheme of things, they really do not matter. Maybe it is time now to see what those little idiosyncrasies are that you are ready to let go of. That you are ready to heal, that you are ready to release into the universe to be healed, so you can indeed be happy and let go of your worry. Are you ready for that? Huh? Are you sure?
Working on it.
You're ready.
You are ready. Take a deep breath. And change your bracelet. Because we know you are ready, but your habit is not to think you are. Yes. And we know many of you did not wear your bracelets out here, and our thought is, why? Have you developed that perfection, eh? Well, that's all. Marilyn has been wearing bracelets for many years, and she still changes them. So see if you can indeed catch yourself when you're worried about something that has not happened yet. Because when you worry about something that has not happened yet, you're actually creating it. And worry is contrary to divine order and divine trust. Worry is the opposite. And that prevents you from taking conscious action. And that will also then prevent you from creating your conscious livelihood. And we know some of you have thought, well, I don't really have a livelihood anymore. I'm retired, which we disagree with. We don't believe in retirement, because re means you're doing something over and over again, and tired means you're getting tired over and over again. So instead, repassion your life. If you do not have a cause to help, find one. There are plenty. We had someone that said that they believe it is refiring your life. Setting your life on fire again. Doing those things that you love. And as long as you're doing those things that you love, even though it may seem like plurk sometimes, it is still a wondrous thing. You have question, yes? About anything. Yes.
Well, last night we talked about, or I think Adiranda talked about, like with relatives, where if one passed away and they reincarnated, that you wouldn't necessarily be able to communicate with them. But I guess and I'm not sure if this is correct, but I thought that, you know, when you pass away, that when you cross over, that your animals, your friends, your relatives, your husband, whatever, would be there to kind of greet you. So does that mean like a part of them is still there, then a part of them is down here now if they've reincarnated, or how does that work?
So we will tell you our experience.
Okay, perfect.
So it is our experience, and every single time we have connected with someone who has indeed crossed over, no matter if it is within days or minutes or a year, it is easier to, if they've already incarnated, It is very difficult, if not maybe next to impossible, to find them on the other side. But there's still an aspect of them that is there. When someone crosses over, no matter what kind of person they were, it has been our experience that they actually are embraced in total and complete love. Their family, their friends, their dogs, their cats, their pets are all there, as you say, waiting to greet them and embrace them and help them go into their area of retraining. The council that Jewel channels calls it regrouping, which is the same. And then when they make the choice to return to Earth, an aspect of them is still on the other side. So those are who are greeting you.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it's a little hard sometimes for my mind to understand like an aspect but it makes sense.
It is. It is like your soul is a part of that essence that is within you. The soul returns, but a part of your essence, an aspect is the only term that we know of, that still keeps you on the other side. But it is difficult to ferret that out when we are searching for an asset with the name and the death date and the birth date and blah, blah, all of that energy, unless there's something a bit more substantial there. And sometimes we have not been able to locate them on the other side. So that means they're either busy, tied up, they don't want to talk, or they're back here and their aspect is off greeting other people. But also keep in mind that you're working to define something that is not linear, that is not conscious in that linear nature, that it is. And the interesting thing that we have found is that it depends on your belief system as what your afterlife looks like. It depends upon part of your belief system. Now, if your belief system is that you are punished and going to hell, you will be very surprised, because you are not. Ah, that is fine. It is good work, huh? It is not, you're not punished. There is no hell, except the one that you create right here. So in that aspect, everyone we have connected with on the other side has the same experience of being greeted by family and friends and loved ones. If you had a child and lost that child as a baby, that child will also greet you.
As a baby?
Sometimes they see them as a baby, sometimes they do not. It is their own perception. He's going across the river.
He's gathering water, maybe for the mud puddle.
For the night.
Ah, good information.
Is there a way to find out if somebody has crossed over, whether or not they have reincarnated or not?
You're going to have to repeat the question.
Yeah, wait until
this may be the time for meditation, huh? But just sit in the stillness and give him the energy of where he is going with that bucket of water. Right there, dumping it on the mud to make those elephants happy. What a great job, eh?
Was it done?
So at 5 o'clock, they go get the water and dump it on the dirt.
Every day.
Maybe so.
So when you come back, do you carry your personality you've had in this life? Does that continue on to the next time?
Repeat the question.
When you come back, the question was, when you come back, do you carry a personality? This time, time and time. We believe you do carry traits of that person. It is not the same personality. It's not necessarily always the same looks. You can look at, if you know who you have been in a previous lifetime, you can see similarities in the personality, in the habits, in the experiences. But sometimes you may come back as a opposite gender. According to Kryon, those that are transgender or gay or whatever, they are changing from one gender into another.
Cool.
Yes, they are going through those lifetimes, and it may take one or two or three lifetimes to change from gender to another. And sometimes you know that you have been specific people, and if you can find that, that is when you can look and say, well, those traits that that person had showed up in your life. That is our vessel Marilyn can state that she knows one of the people that she was. And there's research on her in the newspaper. So, and she carries some of the same skills and talents. So, we don't think it is exactly the same, but some of it is repeated until it is until you're evolving beyond what you were before. You see? So yes.
Is it a continuation? Because I am a little bit different. Son, you toss yourself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a continuation. So, it's not the same personality. It's not going to be Therese. Traits of Therese will come back. But then, address the fact that in karma, you keep drawing certain people and souls to you to work out whatever lesson you were supposed to learn, and that karmic lesson that does keep coming back. And it's like in a relationship, you may have been together before in another lifetime. You know, maybe I'm female this time, maybe I was the male, so the female. But it's all because of that karma that you're having to work out together. Is that a lesson? Speak to that.
There's many different definitions of what karma is. Do we have to repeat that? Many different definitions, and there are many teachers that will tell you that the karma has been obliterated for the world. There is no more karma, ever. Woohoo! We don't call it karma. We call it evolution. And we believe, from what we have experienced through the Ascended Masters on the Council and the teachers that we have encountered, that you are given tasks to learn with each lifetime. And those same people are traveling with you through many lifetimes. And you, if you are angry with someone in this lifetime, then another lifetime they may be angry with you. And you may be trade that back and forth until you resolve that. Mm-hmm. And that was what we call evolution.
Oh, okay.
And once you evolve beyond carrying that old anger that is unexplainable, mm-hmm. yes, mm-hmm. then you don't have to do it any longer. And that is evolution. And then you will, when you have all those lessons done, then you will ascend and maybe become an ascended master yourself. But we believe that you continue to return because you still have things to learn. And as long as you have things to learn, you will continue to return either to Earth or some other planet. Now, is that karma? We do not know. Everyone's definition is different. And then you come to a teacher that says, well, you have resolved all of your karma. Boom. It is done. Wouldn't that be nice, huh?
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. We love that term. easy peasy. But you see, that does not necessarily make it so. But you know people who are more evolved than others. So does that mean they have less karma or they have resolved their karma? We say they have just evolved. They've grown wiser with each life. That is one of the reasons to go into your Akash. It's because you can check on the lives and say, okay, so I have this habit that I don't really care for about my life. So where did that habit start? And how do I heal it so I don't have to do it again? So is that how you define karma?
Well, answers the question.
Good. What goes around comes around. That is what the monk said. What goes around comes around. Do good and then you will be done good. Yes?
So, when yesterday, for example, when we had a blessing for the planet.
Yes.
This is one of the reasons why I love you, is because I feel my heart chakra's like a little rosebud. And it just blossoms and keeps blossoming and blossoming. So as an activator, my question to you is, it is very important for us to know ourselves And we all have our dark past, right? But we want to activate our higher consciousness and our good side. So is there a, like yesterday, I love, you know, this, and we feel the chi, and then put the little planet Earth in there and everything. So sometimes knowing, you know, ourselves, we don't discount our past. It's a little maybe lead weight in there somewhere. Can we have some kind of ritual and like we blow it into a big red balloon and we tie the balloon off and it's, you know what I mean? It's sort of a ritual to, so we, I mean, we affirm it, but we don't want to carry it anymore.
Do you know what she's saying?
Do you?
It was very good. So there are rituals that you can do. When you go into your Akash, you can ask to have anything that no longer serves your highest good to come forward. And one of the rituals is to have it come forward, forgive it, forgive that situation, forgive yourself, say thank you, I love you, and then it seems to dissipate into 1,000 tracers of light. You can also open the chakras in your hands, connect with that energy, cross your left ankle over your right ankle, cross your left hand over your right hand, clasp them together, pull them in, which reverses the flow of energy around your body, and ask while you are there for the guides, your guides, to love you, honor, and protect you, and ask to have anything that no longer serves your highest good to raise to the surface. And you can even visualize that. It may look like strings or ropes or vines or contracts or no matter what it looks like. Then you can ask yourself, well, what would it take to get rid of that? And if that gets uncomfortable, and you don't have to keep it like that, once you start the reversing flow, you can let your hands go. And you ask to be shown all of those past energies that no longer serve, that you're ready to be done with, and what they look like. And you can visualize the vessel marrow and visualize vines, ropes, strings, contracts, spells, blah, blah, all that. And then she takes a chainsaw and chainsaws them out of her existence and disintegrates them all the way back to her root. Right, which leaves some holes in her energy field, and you always want to fill up a hole in your energy field with love, with peace, with joy, and be done with it. There's a ritual. Another ritual, they can go on and on. But you must find what works for you. You see? And some people need a ritual. Some people ask for that because their logical brain must grasp onto that. Yes? Some people do not. We teach classes on channeling and things like that, the Vessel Maryland does, and sometimes we do a download into the brain, and some people come away with a headache. And we tell them to circle that energy 3 times, grab a hold of the pressure, turn in the opposite direction and pull it out, and snap their fingers. And it works. Why? Conscious intention. Yes?
Yes.
Conscious intention. That is what all healing is based upon. Conscious intention. That is why if a person can reorganize and rebuild the cartilage or the discs in the spine, anything is possible. If you can take a glass of water and change the vibration just by saying, I love you, so it freezes in different crystals, than it was before, everything is possible. And that is what you are here doing. You see? That is what you are here doing, is you are finding your path to you. You're acknowledging your path to say, how am I of service? What difference am I making in the world? The vessel and the joy have taken a hold of a big mission, huh? You have taken hold of a big mission, huh? You have taken hold of a big mission, teaching responsibility to irresponsible people. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Each of you have, what is it? Define it. Breathe into it. Create it. Nourish it. Love it. Even if your mission may be to sponsor one person for the power of one program. Even if your mission is to come and work in a situation like this for 8 days or 7 days. Whatever it is perfect. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question? Yes. Yes.
Is it possible at this point in time that along with our own personal stuff that's being brought up, because there's so much being brought up in the world right now that is light workers, we are also taking on the negativity or whatever is coming up in the world, and then we're the ones who are responsible to release it?
Repeat the question.
Does that make
sense? The question, we're going to repeat the question for the recording. Yeah? If it is, if we can remember it. As light plurkers, if we are releasing and clearing for the planet.
Yes, not only our own stuff.
Not only our own, then all of the negative stuff that is coming into the light plurkers to be released and cleared.
Because they're, not everybody is awake and aware. So
yet.
Yes.
So, is that what your question is?
Yes.
We believe everyone is capable of clearing. We believe that you do not have to pull that negative energy into your own personal energy field for it to clear. You may get the opportunity to show a different way. You may get the opportunity to teach others. You may get the opportunity to sit across the table from someone, and when they say, oh, blah, 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 tears and crying and all upset, to just hold them in a new space. That is clearing the negativity, even if it is one person at a time, but that does not mean it has to go through your body. How many of you are empathic? You do not have to pull anyone's energy into your own body any longer. Period. End of story. You do not have to do that. How many of you do not know what empathic is? Empathic is where you feel what other people feel.
Oh, no, I don't. I thought it meant something different.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
An empath feels what other people feel, which means they may be a very good healing practitioner. Because they know that you've got a pain in your knee, because they feel that. Now, no longer do you have to feel that pain, even as an empath. You set your boundaries. You say, if whoever I come in contact with to heal or work with or blah, blah, blah. You know, when we use the term heal, that does not mean that we are the healer. The person who is receiving the energy is actually the healer. And the person giving the energy is the practitioner. You understand that? English is just so inadequate sometimes, but it's getting better. We don't have to change our bracelet on that one. You see, with that energy, the vessel Marilyn is extremely empathic. If you weep, she will weep with you. Makes no difference. She would go through a restaurant and come out with being ill, because she would feel someone else's pain. And we said, you do not have to do that. protect yourself in a bubble of protection and set your boundaries. And then, of course, our question is, but then how do I do Reiki? How do I do energy work on someone if I can't feel what they're doing or see where they go? And we asked her to just tap on the energy field where she is to work. Just give a little tap there, so when she looks into someone's body, she feels a little spark, like when you rub your feet on the carpet. Or she'll actually feel a little tap. And when she feels that little tap, she knows, oh, this is where we need to work. Yet, you get the opportunity to raise your vibration and your frequency enough to be aware of that little tap. Because it may be so slight that you think, was that it? And then you ask for confirmation. But you no longer have to draw that negative energy into your body. But what you do get the opportunity to do is when you have or faced with the negative energy that is floating around out there, to still continue to be the light. To still continue to see, okay, so let's find the goodness within that. We call it the Pollyanna syndrome, huh? Find the good in everything. Play the glad game, yes? The gratitude game. You see? And there is good comes from everything, no matter how much pain it is in the moment. Just like Mado, good came. She may be the poster elephant for changing the practice of humanity and the way they treat the elephants. So good comes from that. You see what we say? Does that answer your question?
Yes, I was just feeling stuff come up in me that I didn't know where it was coming from. And like anger, I'm like, that's not who I am. Right? And I just thought, who's this?
Well, it may be from someone else, or it may be old anger that you have pushed back. Because light plurkers are, historically, the worst at pushing things down and not acknowledging or releasing them, because they were, oh, I'm a light plurker, I'm supposed to stay in this Zen place. I don't have those emotions, which is not true. You are human. You have lots of emotions. And it is all right to express them. And sometimes they may be old, something from your childhood. Right now, everything is bubbling up to the surface because we are in this Zen place. So everything's going to come up that is opposite from the Zen. And you get the opportunity to say, well, you can say this is not mine, but if it came up, there's something in you that it is reflecting, you see? So instead of pushing it away, analyze it a bit more. And if you are empathic, make sure, and sometimes it may not be yours, but there's still, if someone came to you with that issue and you are feeling it, there's still some reflection there somewhere. You see what we say? And ask it to come up and be released. And if you need another ritual, there's another one there too. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Let's do the other ritual.
They're fun.
I love rituals.
You know, you can write down all of the good things in your world. You can renegotiate your contract. Another ritual that is sort of a fun one is to write your contract as you may think that it was when you came into this world, that may have included the contract of poverty, because you took a vow of poverty when you were a nun or a monk or something like that. It may have included other things, and you can write down anything that you feel that was in your original contract. My original contract was for dysfunctional relationships. My original contract was for addiction. My original contract, you know, write all those down, then tear them up with as much emotion as you can muster and throw them in the trash. And you go, don't burn it or bury it. Throw it in the trash and know that if there's little particles that pop out, which they will, that's still a part of that energy. You are not allowed to pick them up. You may sweep them up, but you're not allowed to touch them again. And then write a new contract. At this point in time, I am embracing that love energy, that perfect relationships in my world to bring to me everything that is in my highest good to experience. And write your new contract. That is another ritual. Huh? Is that a good one?
It is.
Good. Next question.
Just to add on. So the other idea is you are born magnificent.
Yes.
And when I was little, I made everybody laugh in my family. And we didn't know it at the time, but guess what laughter is? You know, it's the opening of a heart chakra. And my parents got divorced when I was 12 and a little bit before that. And the ability to make others laugh, it just sort of melted like butter into the flora. It just dissipated. Mm-hmm. And I have had the intent within the last year or two to be able to do that again. So I'm working on it, you know.
Practice with us.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing it. All right. But so that's another idea, is whatever has happened in your life that was sort of a downer for you, you rip that out, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Or those old statements that you heard as a child or somewhere in your world of you can't do this, you can't do that. Rip those up, throw them away, and know that you can do anything. Again, rituals are rituals are rituals are rituals. Or you can simply say, I'm looking for those things that no longer serve, and they are done. Or you can put them all into a big trunk and put them on a conveyor belt and send them off to the sun. It might take a day or two. And obliterate them in the sun.
I think the bonfire last day, you know?
Yes. Lots there. So,
or you can look at the credit card machine every time you use your credit card and it says you're approved and go, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. The universe approves you. So, know that your ritual is about conscious action. Mm-hmm. Your energy is about moving your intention forward in your world, moving that vibration forward. And as you move that vibration forward, everything shifts. So when you have old programs that are running, when you have nonsensical fears that are running, as a light plurker, your job is to be as clear as possible. Yes? Mm-hmm. Your job is to raise the vibration of the planet. How can you raise the vibration of the planet when you're standing in your own muck and mire and you can't see anything out the edge? That is why we ask you to be as clear as possible. That is why we change the bracelet. That is why we see your habits and we love you through them and ask you to shift them. You see? Because you're raising your vibration. Those old habits, those old programs are only bringing you back down. And just because, and then all the programs changed in 2012. So then you get to do yes, half a sentiments exactly. Those old energies changed, so now you get to figure out new ways to do it. Does that make sense, huh? Who has not asked a question yet?
Yeah.
Yes. You don't have a question.
Just giving you the truth.
That's the answer.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I think we had a little bit of a discussion at breakfast time. And a bit of a discussion at breakfast time, not today, but the other day. And so I just want to ask about, in American culture, we use the English language. And
And so when we're talking about don't say negatives or change your bracelet, you know, or else change your bracelet to help us to be aware of thoughts that we have that may be negative, putting ourselves down. But in the Asian culture, for example, a particular interaction which is compliment behavior is contrastive from American culture. So in American culture, we're taught to say thank you or accept. Although research in American culture, they found that you accept the compliment, but you also do self-praise avoidance. In Asian culture, normatively, the response to a compliment is denial or rejection. So they were saying, you get a compliment, say, oh, no, 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 I'm not that good. Oh, no, 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 you just say the opposite of the compliment. So culturally, in the Japanese, Korean, and Chinese culture, the interpretation is not equivalent to what is spoken verbally. And so the interpretation culturally, and the emphasis is on modesty. And the interpretation of saying, no, 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 I don't think so, actually is interpreted culturally as modesty is of great, you know, value. And it's interpreted as an indirect way of accepting a compliment. So I guess I just know that there is a difference culturally, and it's not one-to-one in terms of language and meaning. And so what can you say regarding that? I would say that there has to be intention behind what is the cultural system that's shared by a culture.
So just because it is a cultural thing does not necessarily make it right. It was a cultural thing to bring in the Crusades, which does not make it right. So just because a culture says that you must be modest and deflect a compliment because that makes you appear more modest, in other cultures that would be an insult. To not accept, here I offer you food, and you say, well, I don't really like that kind of food. In some cultures, that is an insult punishable by death. Yes? So just because it is a cultural thing does not necessarily make it right. Our teaching, we would ask to be made aware and to educate yourself and say that it is all right to love yourself. And in most cultures, they do not teach that. Mm-hmm. They teach to judge yourself. Mm-hmm. And yet, how would the world be different if we started off loving yourself? How would things be different? We say change your bracelet because your teaching is to talk negatively about yourself, to talk negatively and complain about everything else around you, to complain about the government, and to complain about there's no air conditioning in the room, and to complain about the fact that there's bugs here and there's bugs there. Well, that does not serve. You are part of the solution. You are part of the problem. We ask you, as an enlightened being, to be a part of the solution that will, we hope, transcend culture. Because the awareness with the bracelet is simply the awareness. This is just a tool. You can use any tool. It's just most people have wrists, not everyone. We had someone in one of our groups that did not have a hand, and he said, how can I change my bracelet? And so we found something different. So in the culture, we've not studied the Asian culture. We've never lived as an Asian. We are through an American body, you see? Yet we would still say that as a part of the culture, are you not revering yourself? Are you not punishing yourself when you say, oh no, I'm really bad, when someone says, I love what you're doing? You see, that is an opposite thing which does not make conscious sense, and it contradicts right understanding.
It only contradicts because it's a different cultural system. There's an intercultural difference that's going on. Culturalists don't believe that any culture is right or wrong. We make no judgment of any culture. Instead, we try to understand their coding system that works for them. So what the point I'm trying to make here, or bring to awareness, is that it's the intent rather than simply the words. When a particular culture understands how to interpret the symbols of verbal and nonverbal communications. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that we have so many cultures around the world, and not every culture is the same. We have different symbols, like characters and Sanskrit, Arabic, all
exactly.
Languages. So, but the interpretations are different. So the value is modesty in the Asian culture. Just like American culture, there's modesty, but there are differing degrees of modesty. In the Asian culture, is highly valued modesty, so they try to build humility. But I understand the point you're making, but also making about honoring self. But because the culture, when the self, when they deny the compliment, is an indirect way of accepting the compliment and to uphold the value of modesty and humility. So it's not a direct one-to-one relationship of words meaning the same thing. So the rejection does not mean rejection. It's an indirect acceptance to emphasize modesty. So I guess I just trying to see what you're...
So in that energy, we agree with the culturalists that there is nothing wrong or right about any culture. It is their path. As far as the Asian culture, what we have witnessed is not that modesty with Asian. And so in that capacity, it is maybe a part of their training. We do not say that it is right or wrong. We say, love yourself, period. And as you love yourself, you can indeed love others, whether it is complimentary or not. It is much simpler than the cultural twisting around of accepting the compliment with a deflection. But that does not mean that that cannot work. It has worked for thousands of years. You understand what we say?
I understand what you're saying.
And we understand what you're saying. And we honor you for that. We wish to make it much simpler. You see? Because not everyone in the world knows the rules.
Just like in one culture, when we nod our head to say yes, in other cultures, when you nod yes, it means no. So when we say no in American culture, it means yes in another culture.
Exactly. And sometimes you get the opportunity to say, what culture are you in? Raise your hand and tell me before I start nodding or shaking my head. Huh? In one culture, they bow. And they continue to bow until the bowing stops. In this culture, when you say Suwati Ka or Kopkum Ka, you why? You will see that no matter how busy they are and you say Kopkum Ka, most of the time they will stop and why you? That is a different culture, and that is fine. If we were all the same, it would be boring. That is why they make chocolate, vanilla and strawberry. You knew we were going to say that. Does that help, huh?
Yes. Yes, I just get a sense that I just want people to understand there's different coding system, different cultural coding system, and I think all cultures, I don't know all the cultures, but you know, quite a few cultures need to embrace oneself, love oneself. Many cultures don't do that.
Exactly. And that is why we are on a mission to help them learn that, no matter what it takes. And it is sometimes difficult to realize. We talk to one group and the vessel Marilyn, when she makes the joke and says, is it all right if we do such and such and such and such? And they all say yes, and said she says good, because we would do it anyway. There was a few people in the audience, they were very triggered by that, because that is what their parents used to say to them, which took away their power. So we understand the difference of cultures, but we are not in a discussion. Well, we are in a discussion of cultures, but this is not where we are right now. We're looking at the Buddha within, which, if that is against your culture, why?
I don't know what would be against it.
Exactly.
It's just, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that we're emphasizing not to say any negatives. Okay?
We're emphasizing to be aware of how often you give yourself negative feedbacks. We are not emphasizing that you are never to say anything negative, because that is not natural. What we are saying, and you have witnessed it, that some people have a very strong habit of seeing the negative first. That may be their culture, that may be their training, that may be whatever. We do not care. Our job is to help them learn that they do not have to do that.
Right. But another example that I want people to be aware of, it's not just only that the words do not match up totally to cultural interpretations, but also there are particular cultures like German culture, Swedish culture, American culture are high on the list of being very direct in their communications.
Yes.
Whereas in Asian cultures are very indirect. Mm-hmm. And also they learn a lot through observation. They're not so much verbal, but they observe and they do action. Whereas North American culture, they're more into really explanation and talking and very...
And what is your point?
The point I'm trying to make is that...
About the Buddha within. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, right. But also it's related that I want people to be aware, because part of the Buddha within is also being aware that people in different cultures do differ. We cannot use our own cultural standards to look at another culture and be able to evaluate another culture if they're using another cultural system.
So
it's just like using basketball game rules to
play football.
To football game rules. And that's the point I'm trying to make, because people start falling into judgment. And so I just want to make that, I just want people to be aware. That's the only thing I want to say.
If we were here to evaluate another culture, we're falling into judgment. We're here to learn to love ourselves.
Yes,
that's
nothing,
the bottom line.
Nothing to do with the world culture.
So, take a deep breath. And release all judgment. If it helps to snap your fingers to release the judgment, please do. Take another deep breath. Blow it out like you're blowing out a candle. Take another deep breath. Blow it out like you're blowing out a candle. Breathe into your core, your center. We are each a part of the infinite. In the past, we may have defined ourselves by the programming that came with our own culture. Which can be perfect, and it can be tweaked a bit. We are asking you to know that what goes round comes round. To know that when you breathe into conscious understanding of many aspects of this world, that is the intention. And then that intention becomes conscious as well. Sometimes, as the culture, as the teachings of our life no longer serve, they are redirected and raised for all of humanity to grow. That may or may not mean that you ignore your roots. That is for you to choose. I ask you to be present. I ask you to live your intention in truth and love and compassion. I ask you to breathe into your own conscious action and see how educating can be a subtle thing. I ask you to breathe into the livelihood that is yours to be of service. And with that livelihood, the correct divine thought, not correct by definition, but by the divine, brings forth into the mindfulness of humanity. And that brings us into concentration. Focus. And as that focus enters, as that energy comes through, that focus that I am asking you for is to approach with openness for learning new ways, to approach your life with the openness of going inside to see what does work and what you learned, because that was just what you learned, but it may not work any longer. There are many different beings on this planet, and each are individual. Take a deep breath. Your job is to understand and accept. Whether you agree or not is not important, but you respond with compassion and love. And the moment that you feel your energy becoming argumentative, the moment the communication stops. That is fact. And we ask you to return to conscious speech. Conscious understanding. Conscious energy. Take a deep breath. We ask you, if you feel so moved, to place your hands in the prayer position. And give thanks for who you are. And you know that your love radiates around your body with intention. So open the chakras in your hands by rubbing them together if you choose. It is not required. Open them up. Feel the energy. Hold your conscious concentration and visualize the earth in between your hands. Coming from your heart is an illuminated light that surrounds the earth, that ricochets back and forth through your hands. That illuminated light can be whatever you choose. I choose love. I choose being mindful of the peoples on this planet and to honor their differences. With love. And to ask for wisdom and clarity for each with love. You are a part of the Buddha. Just as you are a part of the Christed One. Just as you are a part of Krishna. Just as you are a part of the essence of Allah. All the teachings are the same. Love. Back at the beginning. Before humans interpreted it differently. That is the essence of love we wish to breathe into this planet Earth. Open your heart. Listen with your heart. Asinokma kiyati. O a iknokma. Ashonomakia. Ashonomakia. Alito maka. O akia. O akia. O akia. All cultures are different. They have utilized what serves them. If they are in contrast to loving oneself, that is a contrast that can evolve into love. Love is the key. Love is the key. Love is the key. And as you bring forth that love through the planet, bring it to your heart. And to know that within you is the Buddha, within you is the Christed One, within you are the great teachers of this planet, even though they are all from different cultures. Their teachings transcend culture, as you do. Breathe with love. And then open your hands, almost like a bird is let loose, to allow that love to radiate out from you. That is what you are doing here. That is your task, your mission, your presence. And for that we are grateful. To honor our differences. To honor our lives. And to learn, to grow, to evolve into the best that we can possibly be. We love you so much.
You back.
Love you back. We honor you. We trust you. And we hold you with love and compassion and understanding.
Thank you.
And growth. And as we gently push your buttons, we still love you through that growth. Huh? Namaste.
Namaste.
Can we have a Greek hug?
Oh, yes.